Guess what? We've got an awesome interview for you right now. Hello, Mike Mineta, Director of Organizing for Washington Lawn Wolfpack. Oh, Wolfpack's in the house. wolf-pack.com. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good. Great
so,
to be here.
For those of you who don't know, I tell this story a decent amount of time. Mike's the guy that kept me going in the early days. So the first year was a little rough. You remember that, Mike?
It was pretty rough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was this, I don't know how, but it was this picture that I saw of Mike in the snow in New Hampshire holding up a sign, trying to rally people. And that always got me through. I was mm-hmm. like, there's that dude in New Hampshire standing in the goddamn snow. Yep. I'm not going to let that guy down. Okay. And he didn't let us down. And that's how he became our director of organizing. Yep. Okay. So how's everything going overall?
It's going well. And the first thing that I'd like to do is just thank the TYT universe, you know, out there for mm-hmm. stepping up and allowing, you know, myself along with a couple others to be hired here at Wolfpack, because, you know, it was back in those days, it was tough because I was doing it as a volunteer, you know, which we have a lot of people doing it as a volunteer right now. But yeah. there's a lot to do. You know, we're trying to organize 50 states. And so, yeah, I really appreciate it. You know, we had a lot of people step up, become members. It's really amazing what those, you know, those small dollar donations can do. You know, they really add up after a while. So I'm appreciative of that.
You know who else is a volunteer? Me.
Yeah. Yeah. Good
and,
point.
Yeah, right? And so Mike started as a volunteer, and he kicked ass so much that we had to raise money from you guys, et cetera, to hire him. And thank God we did, because of the results that we're getting, right? Now, how many of the states have state leaders now?
We're around 40.
40 out of the 50,
we're getting
not
there.
So
yep.
bad, not so mm-hmm. bad. And then they branch out, and we need about, what, like 1,000 gladiators or so?
1,000 is the magic number that we're trying
magic
to hit.
Magic number, yep. Okay. So it's not 1,000 volunteers fly by night, right? And it's not 1,000 lobbyists. It's 1,000 hardcore guys ready to go into battle. And Mike's in charge of getting those guys. They don't just appear on their own, mm-hmm. right? It's not like, hey, yep. oh, they just magically organized.
Yep.
No, you need Mike and others to organize them. So, okay, I mainly want to talk about Vermont because that was the first state we put on the board. It happened recently. It's an awesome story.
Yeah.
I've told parts of it, but I want to tell the whole story here, and you were there. Okay,
yep.
So what happened first?
Pretty exciting story, obviously. Yeah, we just got our first state a week ago. It's been a long battle to get number one, you know, and it feels good. And one of the things we always tell our volunteers is step number one in your state is we got to find that person who's willing to introduce our resolution, right? Because until we do that, we don't have anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all the training that we do, all the, you know, the tools that we've given our, and the talking points we've given our volunteers are really just designed for them to find that one person that says, you know what, I get it. I realize that this issue is really important and we need to, you know, find a way to solve it. So that's always number one. We tell our volunteers, you know, sort of act like detectives within those, you know, state houses. Go in there and just start poking around, you know, and look for people that are supportive. So same situation in Vermont. You know, we had to find that first person. And it turned out to be Senator Ginny Lyons, who has, you know, introduced other legislation in the past related to campaign finance. So, you know, after doing a little bit of research, she was an easy person to try to go and reach out to.
So that's interesting in a couple of ways. So I, through Wolfpack, sometimes we got to attack, right?
We do.
But in the beginning, we're looking for friendly folks, mm-hmm. right? There's mm-hmm. no need to attack in the beginning. There's
exactly.
need to find people. It sounds really daunting in the beginning because mm-hmm. how am I going to call a state rep? How am I going to call a state senator? How am I going to find this person? But you find out that there actually are homo sapiens. They're human beings, yeah. right? They're not yeah. corporations. They're not inanimate object. They're actually a person, especially mm-hmm. at the state level. It's oftentimes a regular guy and mm-hmm. sometimes a guy or a woman who got into it because they cared, mm-hmm. right? They cared at some point
yep.
to get into it, right? And so, and I remember with Ginny Lyons, I first talked to her about a year and a half ago or so. And I remember she told me in Vermont, like, it's going to be hard. Mm-hmm. She said to me, like, you shouldn't wait on Vermont to be your first state, right? And I was like, okay, duly noted, yeah. taken under yeah. advisement. Yeah. Anyway, and but she was
she
right
said that about a month and a half ago too.
Yeah, that's so. Right. And but she was been right about so much of the process, and she, mm-hmm. so we got lucky there that we had a friendly person that we knew about right in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't get lucky, and we got to work hard at it and keep calling people. And a lot of people assume it's going to be Democrats, but sometimes no, it's yeah. a Republican
for sure.
Yeah, and so
no doubt about it.
Yeah, so those are amazing stories mm-hmm. too. We'll save those for another day.
Yep.
But Ginny Lyons then became a champion for us.
She did. Yes, she's. I mean, people are lucky to have representatives like that in Vermont or any state. And we always say there's at least one of those in every state government in this country. No doubt about it. I mean, there ended up being 95, I think, was the final vote tally we got in the House, mm-hmm. you know, in Vermont. So mm-hmm. if you count the senators, it was over 100 people mm-hmm. in that state house. Eventually end up voting for in favor of our resolution. So yeah, we say there's one, but there's a lot more than one that care about this issue.
Yeah, actually, I think technically 25-2 in the Senate, and so 95 in the House. So you're looking at 120 people,
yeah.
but it started with just one person.
It did. It
you didn't have
does.
To get all 120.
Always does.
Yeah.
It starts with one volunteer or, you know, anybody talking to that one legislator, and then, yeah, and then it kind of spreads, you know, because
right.
it is such a logical idea what we're trying to do here. It's not that complicated at the end of the day. You know, we need an amendment. We know that, right? Because state legislation has already been tried and that lasted about a day in Montana. We don't want to just wait around for a Supreme Court ruling, right? That's doing nothing for something that is urgent. So once you determine that you need an amendment, then there's only two ways to do that, you know, and one of them is through this Congress, right? With that 9% approval rating, you know. You have to really earn a 9% approval rating. It's not easy to get.
Yeah.
So once you eliminate them as a viable option, then there's only one way, and that's, you know, to go through the state legislatures to try to get a convention of the states to essentially just have a conversation about how to fix this, you know.
So here is something I would not have expected. I know I talk about this all the time on the show, but and you deal with this more than anybody does. I'm super psyched about how much democracy still exists
yeah.
at the state level, because I mean, the idea that we could convince Republicans to support this, and like, so Ginny Lyons in some ways is an outlier because the first person to talk to her was me. That is,
right.
that's the only case that that's been the
right.
case. Oftentimes, you know, there's Todd Jagger, who in Texas went and took his state rep or senator, I forget which one, to
rep
to lunch. And the guy says, it's a funny story, you know, like, Wolfpack, you know, yeah, you guys are going to have a tough fight. I don't know how much people care about saving the wolves here.
Yeah.
And he said, no, we don't want to save the wolves. We want to save
the
Republic. And the guy's like, oh, damn, sign me up.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine a state rep?
Awesome.
You're a real person, you're talking to a real person, and they say, yeah, let's do it.
They actually care.
They actually care, and to see Republicans care, we're going to see that in Vermont, too. But let's start with Ginny Lyons.
Yeah.
So what's the clip we're going to see here?
Yeah, this is just a short clip we did once we finished in Vermont with the vote tally. This was all over with. We just went around and we wanted to just sit down with a couple of them and, you know, just hear what they thought about it. So this is Ginny Lyons herself.
I think that we've allowed our society to become so capitalized and so overly interested in money and forgetting that democracy is about people. It's about making decisions about people, for people, of people, and it's not about who's the most powerful.
You know, she is a sweet and smart woman from Vermont. She's not a robot.
Right.
Like, I'm so used to dealing with robots at mm-hmm. the national level,
mm-hmm.
and so, I don't know, it's so refreshing to see that representatives who represent.
Yeah, she's fantastic, and I think a lot of times people, when they think about politics, they just assume that all politicians are the same, right? And they all agree with the Supreme Court, you know, that corporations are people and they have, you know, the same rights as we do. But, you know, there you have it. She, you know,
she's on the right side. That's a great point, Mike. Nobody actually thinks a corporation is a human being, right? You have to be trained to think that, right? So, like, you have to get the talking points, and you have to say the talking points over and over and over again until you become one of those robots at the national level. Of course, corporations should have the same rights as human beings, right? Corporations are people, my friend.
Yeah. Right? There's no way they even actually believe that.
Yeah.
They just have to say it to stay, get reelected. So.
And at the state level, very often, not every time, but very often, they have not had an opportunity to make them robots yet.
Right.
So they're still human beings. So yep. when you talk to them, you're like, oh, is a corporation a human being? They're like, of course not. Mm-hmm. Who would be silly enough to yep. think that?
Yeah, it's that they don't have to toe that line on the state level.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's great. Now, so that's Senator Lyons. She was the first on board. Then we go to Senator Sears. He was critical, right?
He was critical, yeah. He was the chairman of the first committee that our resolution, JRS 27, was in on the Senate side. And he had previously been outspoken against this resolution. So we were, you know, in a little bit of trouble there. We weren't quite sure we were going to make it out of that committee. And as you're going to see, he admits it wasn't going to make it out of that committee. And then we've been, you know, one tactic that we do here at Wolfpack is we will just, you know, we'll have a phone bank and we'll just call into a district, you know, and we'll talk to voters, because knowing that most of them are going to agree with us on some level, right? So we did that. You know, we called into his district and we talked to some voters. And this story, a lot of people know the story of Walker getting a hold of a Dr. Steve Barry, who heard him out, and he said, "Yeah, this makes sense what you guys are doing. I'll call my state senator, who happened to be Senator Sears, who is the chairman of the committee." And Senator Sears listened to him. You know, he heard him out, and he said, "All right, well, one of my constituents cares about this issue. I'll give it another shot." You know, let's hear. This is Senator Sears on the Senate floor for the floor debate.
Mr. President, the issue before us is a very serious one, and I had not intended to bring this resolution out of committee this year. And then I got talking with one of my constituents, and he and I had this, you know, he's actually of the other party, frankly. But he and I have a lot of conversations.
Is there only one other party?
The other party that begins with an R, Mr. President, not the little P. In all seriousness, Mr. President, and one of the things he said when he testified in front of my committee sticks with me today, and that is that Congress recently earned a 9% approval rating, which is lower than the support of the King of England at the time of the Revolutionary War. And when you think about that is actually going on, the King of England at the time of the Revolutionary War had a higher approval rating from the American people than Congress does today.
So the last time a national politician changed their mind because a constituent talked to them was never. Okay, no, that's not fair. I'm sure it happened at some point, but I literally don't remember it in my lifetime. And so,
and just one.
Yeah.
One person.
And in this case, Dr. Stephen Barry, who's a minister in Vermont, goes mm-hmm. to talk to his state senator, and he admitted there. That's the other thing. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Like, at the national level, they'd have too much of an ego.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's like, no, my constituent, who I represent, made a great point, and I listened to him.
That's exactly what happened.
And as I'm looking at those videos and those pictures, I'm in my mind, I'm seeing the new founding fathers.
Yeah, right? No question about it.
And so if Ginny Lyons hadn't introduced it, we wouldn't have been anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But if Senator Sears hadn't then turned around and mm-hmm. pushed for it, we definitely would not have made it out of committee.
Nope. No, he just said it. He's what's missing from that clip just a little bit earlier in that speech was when he first stood up to defend this resolution, everybody started laughing. And that's what's crazy, because he's been so outspoken against it, right? Like, he mm-hmm. was just not going to hear it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it was only because he hadn't really heard all of the, you know, the talking points and the logic around it. And he was perfectly willing to hear those. It just took somebody going to him and actually making that case. And he said, oh, you know what? This actually makes a lot of sense. And then not only was he, in support of it, but he actually ended up being a champion for it himself. I mean, he stood up like 12 times in that floor debate to defend the resolution.
That's
right?
Awesome.
So
that's
you know.
Awesome. And so look, you gotta understand something. People don't mean bad. So a lot of people have heard these things out there, like runaway convention, right?
Yep.
And they don't know what that means. So like they just think like, oh, we had a constitutional convention once and they rewrote the whole thing and from the Articles of Confederation. But that's not what this is. This is already in the Constitution. It's not to rewrite mm-hmm. it, it's for a specific amendment, and it's very clear.
Yep.
And the states have done conventions 233 times. Mm-hmm. It's never run away. The problem is people don't know that.
Right.
So when you tell Senator Sears or whoever else, they're like, oh, okay, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense.
Yep.
Do I want a convention for this specific amendment? Hell yeah, I do.
Yep.
Right?
Exactly.
And so, and that's part of our job here. And that's why, like, it's not magic. It's guys like Mike working hard, the volunteers working hard to get through to people so that they understand the facts and go, oh, well, then I'm totally on board. You're right. I'm with the 96% yep. who want to get rid of the influence of money in politics.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Senator Sears, and then Sam Young. What's his story in Vermont?
Yeah, well, Sam Young was definitely one of my favorite people I met up there. He gave a kind of a fiery speech. He doesn't actually talk that much, from what I've heard, on the floor. But you know, he again, with legislators, it seems like they either get it or they don't. You know, and if they get it, they really get it. You know, they understand that this is really important. You know, this has to be fixed. This is a way to do it. And so Sam Young, I mean, I've been watching the John Adams series, rewatching it again on HBO, and you know, I almost looked at him as kind of the John Adams in there, because he gave a really passionate speech. You know, he just kind of spoke from his heart, and it was cool to see there was like a sense of excitement in the chamber, because they were debating something that was above party lines, you know, and people were siding with each other that had never done that before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole time they've been a legislator, they found themselves just agreeing with people they never had before. It was truly a bipartisan argument, and they were all, I think, just happy to be a part of that debate.
So the scene that it reminds me of is Lincoln, when after they passed the 13th Amendment, then all of a sudden, like, all the division and stuff melts away. Like,
yeah.
People are like, wait, I think we just did something historic.
Yeah.
And that's the sense that when I hear the stories from Vermont and Illinois and all these different places, that's the sense that I get, that once they pass it, they're like, mm-hmm. I think we might have done something really important here.
Yeah.
And that's a great feeling.
Yep. It was an awesome feeling.
So yeah. Are we going to see Sam Young's speech here?
Yeah, let's check out Sam Young.
Okay. Read a quote from Ethan Allen. It's on the quote on the wall downstairs if you haven't ever read it, but I am as resolutely determined to defend the independence of Vermont as Congress or that of the United States. And rather than fail, we'll retire with the hardy green mountain boys into the desolate caverns of the mountains and wage war with human nature at large. You know, that thing, that always inspired me about this place. And I love the debate here tonight, and I love it when it's a truly open debate and we're not divided among party lines. You know, I am here to defend the independence of Vermont, but Congress has sold us out. And we only have a couple of options available to us. And I might be, you know, young and naive, but I'm willing to have a massive change in this country. I want a massive change in this country. So that's why I'll be supporting this resolution, because I'm not scared, because we need to change this world, not just this state, not just this country. We need to change this world, and we need that change to come from this government that has sold us out and is selling out the world and all its resources.
God, that pumps me up,
right?
Man.
It's a reminds stuff.
Me of Lincoln and John Adams.
Yeah.
I saw that too.
Yeah.
Like when they get up and they speak. And
yeah, it's awesome.
Ah!
Who wouldn't want that guy representing them?
Yeah.
You know?
So I mean, feel like you're right. And when I said it too, but if when you see him in the actually on the Senate floor or the House floor speaking, then you get more of a sense like these are the new founding fathers. The people, the original founding fathers gave us democracy. As you know, mm-hmm. as Benjamin Franklin famously said, it's a republic if you can keep
it,
right? And these are the ones that are going to bring it back
that are
for
trying
us.
To keep it.
Yeah, they're trying to keep it.
Yeah.
We have it at the state level and bring it back at the federal mm-hmm. level. And I just get jazzed. But they got jazzed from him too, right? Because he doesn't speak that often.
Yeah, they loved it. Yeah,
so absolutely. Like that pumped up the room.
There was definitely a good vibe in the room after that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I view like the guys who work at Wolfpack, now that we're going through this analogy, and I've never thought about it this way before, I guess we're the colonial soldiers,
mm-hmm.
right? And those guys are the founding fathers, because they got to actually take the action. They got to do the vote, right?
Yep.
And
they do.
Yeah.
They're the only ones that can, yeah.
Yeah. And that's fun, man. I mean,
awesome.
It's important, but it's also fun.
It is.
And our state leader here in California, Allison, mm-hmm. she had this line that also always sticks with me. She had just made a call, and it was actually one of the volunteers had gotten through, and a politician did something that we wanted to mm-hmm. happen, which is great.
Yep.
And she said, it feels so good to get the power back.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it does.
So now those are Democrats, but now we're going to go to Republicans.
Yep.
So tell me about the Republicans.
So, yeah, as you know, it was a bipartisan effort up there. And, you know, we always tell people, again, in our training, always give everybody an equal chance, you know. We may not agree on all issues, but this one, again, if they get it, you know, they're going to support us. And we happen to find this one senator, Rich Westman, who, honestly, I didn't know he was going to be as supportive as he was in the beginning. He didn't really let on until, I didn't really know he was going to be as supportive as he was until he actually got up and gave a speech on the Senate floor. And I was really impressed. It was an excellent speech, too. So he was, I believe that Rich was probably the most important person, actually, in this whole story in Vermont. Because, you know, he's been there for a while. He knows a lot of people. He really got it. You know, and we don't agree on, even, you know, with the solution, we don't necessarily agree, you know. We have different ways that we would write that 20th Amendment. But what Rich got was what this resolution, what our resolution does, is it only asks for the conversation. You know, there is no solution in JRS 27. All it says is we need to have a conversation somewhere other than Congress, because Congress can no longer have an honest conversation about it. So let's have that platform. You know, let's provide a venue where we can have an honest conversation about how to deal with this issue of, you know, money in politics. So, he was phenomenal.
So, you know, you said he's maybe the most important person. And we've been saying that about Jenny Lyons, Senator Sears, et cetera. But I always think of the analogy of the Cowboys, right? They always had the debate, was it Jimmy Johnson? Was it Jerry Jones the owner? Jimmy Johnson, of course, was the coach. Was it Troy Aikman, legendary running back Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin? Yeah. Was it the greatest offensive line that I've ever seen in football? Right. And the answer to that is yes.
Right.
It was all of them.
Yes.
That's how they
of
won
course.
Three that,
yeah.
That's how they won three championships.
Exactly.
We couldn't have done it with our volunteers without our volunteers. We couldn't have done it without these guys.
Yep.
You need every one of those guys to come through. So what are we going to look at here? Is this a floor
speech? This is actually after it was all over with one of the interviews we did with Rich is what you're going to see here.
All right.
We deserve the right to be able to put fair rules in place that allow people to donate in a fair way that helps us have elections that gets a message out that reflects what we are.
Why a convention?
Well, because we can't put those rules in place. They, the Supreme Court has said that this is their view of what the Constitution says. And Congress won't act. It's not in Congress's, you know, the present Congress, and once you're an incumbent, you have access to money that challengers will never have. And so Congress is not invested in seeing any of this change.
He's so right.
Right?
Yeah. And so, again, there's another human being. And as I watch all these tapes, I think, we're rallying the humans to fight the robots.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. And so there's a Republican, open-minded, might have different ideas about how we should run the country once we get our democracy back.
Right.
That's awesome.
Let's have that conversation.
Yeah, I know another Republican that wound up being incredibly supportive once we agreed on the most important issue. His name is Buddy Romer.
Exactly.
So
right?
That wound up being a little helpful to the Young Turks, too.
I heard.
So open mind, open mind.
Absolutely. And to stay, I guess, along those bipartisan lines, another one that I think you already played a clip from Vicky Strong, another Republican.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, someone had said, you know, I don't know if you're necessarily going to get her, you know, on your side. But again, give everybody an equal chance. I sat down with her, you know, and she ended up being one of our biggest supporters. And I loved her story. And she lost a son, unfortunately, in Iraq, who was defending the polls. Mm-hmm. Iraqi polls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's why she's a representative to, in his honor, you know, sort of just fight for democracy. And when she read our resolution, she said, this is what, you know, this looks like freedom to me. You know, this what you guys are trying to do is restore democracy, and she loved it. So, just along the lines, I guess, of you know, being a soldier, like you said before, and I think we've talked about this. People in the old days, citizens of this country, and this is what I when I initially started volunteering for Wolfpack, I used to think about like, oh, because you know, nobody has time to make, you know, 20 calls in a week or whatever, and it's you got to really force yourself to do it, right? And what I said, what I thought about was, think about how many people have actually lost their lives fighting for the democracy in this country, right? Like, yeah. Literally gave their life for it, you know? And, you know, Revolutionary War time, talking about picking up a bayonet and, like, actually stabbing somebody, you know? Mm-hmm. In the name of democracy, you know, for this country. So we can't make a call, you know?
Yeah, it's a great point. And we were just talking to the state leaders the other day, and one of them had a story about, was it his dad who was in the service and or his grandfather? But what?
Yeah, grandfather.
Grandfather. Yeah. And he said, look, he fought for this country. He risked his life for this country. Yeah. You can't make calls?
Yeah.
You can't make calls.
Right.
He's willing to lay down his life. Freedom isn't free, right? They're willing to lay down their lives for this country, and we can't make a couple of calls?
Yeah.
So, of course we can. And then it turns out sometimes you run into somebody like Vicky Strong that says, yeah. And by the way, we looked, afterwards, it was Ben looked when we were doing this story on the show. Mm-hmm. He looked into her voting record. She's not a liberal Republican from right. Vermont. She's hardcore conservative.
Yep.
But you know what hardcore conservatives believe in? Freedom.
Yep.
Free and fair elections.
Absolutely.
So
let's check it out. Yeah, let's
look at Vicky Strong.
And as I've moved forward in the loss of our son, I'm celebrating his life and his courage, but also vigilantly keeping my eyes on democracy and what I can do as his mother to honor him and remember him and all those who've served and have given their lives for other countries and for us ultimately every day. And I guess that's what sums up freedom to me, and democracy is these men who serve our country and have fought for democracy ever since the beginning of our country.
That's correct. So in connecting that to why you supported JRS 27 mm-hmm. here in Vermont, what would you say?
I would say that when you first try to figure out what this resolution is about, you kind of have to sift through a few layers, but ultimately it's about the democratic process and about what we can do as citizens, as groups, to protect our freedom and protect our voice. And when we see an issue that seems to be straying from that we have this opportunity to come together and have a stronger voice. If we feel our government may be not representing us anymore, and maybe there's deep corruption there, how do we fight that? Our founding fathers gave us a most wonderful avenue, and it's sometimes a long shot, but it's still there.
So two things about that. First of all, we've been using the Founding Fathers analogy. She mentioned them. But what's really cool is that now we get to have Founding Mothers, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And, I mean, she's literally a
yep.
mother, right?
Yep.
And a Founding Mother in so many different ways. And I want to give her a new middle name. It's Two. Vicky Too Strong.
That's good. Yeah.
Because God bless her, man. She, yeah. as much as we disagree on so many other issues, she believes in the same thing we believe. We should have a democracy where we debate those issues
yeah.
earnestly. And again, when you talk to a Republican at the state level, they're not trained to be robots. They're really people that have earnest opinions mm-hmm. and that you can have a real conversation with mm-hmm. and you can have real agreements with.
Yep. And I always talk about a sense of urgency too, though, because we don't know how long it's going to be until that's not true anymore. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, right now they are responsive to the people in their districts, but who knows? Maybe 10, 20 years from now, they're acting just like Congress. And if we let it get to that point, it's too late.
I know. We got a window, and we got to yep. hurry a little bit because there was a Kansas coup in that the Kochs organized where they threw out earnest Republicans.
Yep.
It wasn't Democrats. They threw out earnest Republicans
yep. Yep.
to put in fully Koch-sponsored Republicans.
Yep.
Okay. And I remember those Republican leaders then went to a state convention of state leaders, mm-hmm. I should say, and they told the other Republicans, watch out. You think the Kochs yeah. are the enemies of the Democrats? think again.
Yeah.
And if you're a Republican, you don't want Soros money controlling your election. You don't want Bloomberg money. And it turns out you don't want Koch money either because you don't know when they come for you, right? Great. Yeah. We agree.
All big money.
Hey, listen, conservatives, let me get all of Soros money, all of Bloomberg money out of politics. Wouldn't that be great?
Yep.
Okay.
I actually, it's funny. I had a conversation similar to that with a Republican. And he sort of took that angle like, oh, yeah, you know, I know you guys want to get Koch brothers money out, but what about Soros? And I was like, absolutely.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah,
they always think that they're, because they're so used to partisan politics that we're going to be hypocrites. Yeah. We're like, no, keep union money in, you know, and absolutely, Bloomberg. No.
You just need a better system that works for everyone. Right. Yeah, it's not that complicated.
So Maida Townsend, what's the story there?
Yeah, so she was the one who presented our resolution to the floor and actually to the committee before that. And she just did a phenomenal job. The weekend before she presented to the committee, she had actually gone and bought a book of the Federalist Papers and started reading through them, you know? And all these people had their questions, honestly, and I think she was one of them beforehand. So she went and she wanted to, I guess, you know, just see what they would have thought, I guess, about what we're doing, you know? And she said, the way that she presented to the committee was phenomenal. She said, you know, I felt like I was there with them, you know, with our founding fathers. And she goes, after reading this book, I'm even more convinced that they would be totally you know, in approval of what we're trying to do here. So she did a phenomenal job in the committee, and then she also presented it to the House floor. And that's what we're going to see here. So let's check out Maida Townsend.
It is essential to liberty that the government in general should have a common interest with the people. It is essential to liberty that the government in general should have a common interest with the people, not a common interest with a few very wealthy individuals, nor a common interest with corporations, nor with unions, all of which have been able to pour extraordinary amounts of money into the electoral process ever since the 2010 Supreme Court ruling known as Citizens United.
Yeah, there's a great Thomas Jefferson quote about we should not be ruled by elite. That's always been the dynamic.
Yep.
Few elite trying to rule us all versus all of us trying to rule ourselves.
Yep.
And when you see, unfortunately, that Princeton research study that came out recently, they looked at about 1,800 different policies from 1981 to, I think, 2007, and determined that the American people's opinion had almost zero effect, okay? But then when you looked at elite opinion, it had a direct correlation.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, at the national level, that's exactly where we are now, where we're run by a small number of elites. It's not even the top 1%. Mm-hmm. No, that's 3 million people. No, it's like 0.01% that are the top donors.
Yeah. Which is pretty ridiculous, actually, when you think about it. You know, we always use numbers, you know, in some of our training. And one that I always go back to is 320 plus million people we have in this country, you know? And we're getting, like, really pushed around by a couple hundred people, you know, really is what it comes down to. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those numbers are insane if you put them next to each other. So, you know, that's why I truly believe that we're going to actually do this. And the internet, obviously, is allowing us to organize in a way that has never been possible in the history of the world. You're literally talking about the most powerful organizing tool ever.
So I know they have resources, so it's a little apples and oranges. But if a couple hundred of them can change the entire system to be in their benefit and against our interests, couldn't a couple hundred of us do likewise? And now we've got resources. Internet, we're working together, having the right plan. That's the other thing. Look, I don't run the organization day to day. Mike does, Ryan does, Salim does now, thanks to you guys, to TYT audience, allowed us to bring Salim on to do the social media and the outreach because we need more people to join the fight, et cetera. And when you guys laid down the plan, I liked it a lot. And then at the same time, I thought, like, well, let's see, does it work?
Yeah.
Right? It's one thing for me to logically like it. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to see it work.
Yeah.
And we saw it work in Vermont, and we're seeing it work in other states.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's not doable. It's totally doable. Now all we need is those gladiators to go out there, make the calls, talk to their reps and senators to be able to fund this process just enough to make this work.
Yep.
And yes, a couple hundred of us can do the same thing that couple hundred people did.
Yep. And staying with the numbers, though, a while ago, it was about a year ago now, I posted on Facebook because I was genuinely curious what people thought was our biggest obstacle. You know, I didn't know what people thought. So I said, you know, what do you guys think is stopping us from actually accomplishing this goal? And number one, believe it or not, was money. We can't compete with the Koch brothers and, you know, big money interest. Mm-hmm. Number two is apathy. But 80% said money, you know, and I always go back to numbers. You know, one third of 1% of this country, if say they were giving $10 a month to a plan that could actually save this democracy, that would be $10 million every single month. Now, we could do this.
Any idea what we could do with $10 million?
And that's, but that's only one third of 1% for something that, you know, 96, everybody agrees on, 96% of us agree on. So
that's interesting.
Numbers are in our favor.
So now I feel like I'm the Iron Bank. I don't know if you watch Game of Thrones, but
not yet. It's on my list.
You have words. We prefer numbers. They don't lie. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So their 0.01% gives a ton of money, right? But we don't need a ton of money. We just, 10 bucks a month is a couple of coffees a month, yeah, basically. And all we need is one third of 1% to give that 10 bucks a month.
Yeah.
And then they would literally have no chance against us.
No chance.
Because once we even up the money count, it's a no contest.
Not even.
We're going to steamroll them because 96% of us agree.
Yeah. Then the money just cancels each other out.
Yeah.
And
once
then
you've even the playing ground,
yeah,
good night, Irene.
And that's one third of 1%. But if it was 5%, we'd have 100, there would be 150 million a month.
That's a little bit overkill. But okay, all right.
It's only 5% though, you know? So for me, I mean, that's really one of the things that I sort of look to as encouragement, you know, because we mm-hmm. do have power in numbers. People always have throughout history, you know? Mm-hmm. Another thing that we go through in our training. We just need a small percentage of people to believe we can actually do it, and we're going to do it. Mm-hmm. It's not any more complicated than that. It's really not, so.
Yeah, all right. So what do we have on Sweeney?
Yeah, so Representative Sweeney was really critical on the House side.
Okay.
She was the chair of the Government Operations Committee, where it went after it passed the Senate, it went over to the House side, and it was in her committee. So same thing, you know, just sat down with her, explained, you know, the talking points to her, and this is why we're doing it. And she really got it, you know, and by the end, you know, by the time we got closer to the vote, she really wanted it to happen, you know, she was very excited about it. And just to give you a random fact about her, I didn't find this out until after it was all over. It was the very last day that we had already won the vote. I was going home. And we're having a conversation, and turns out she was actually a guidance counselor in my hometown in New Hampshire when I was in fifth and sixth grade.
Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about real humans?
Yeah, so.
It's like, I don't know, I remember Mrs. Rosenberg, who was critical teacher to me in fourth grade. Mm-hmm. She moved me up from the lowest reading group to the highest reading group and gave me a lot of confidence stuff. If in the middle of all this, it turns out Mrs. Rosenberg's a super important legislator in New Jersey, I'd be like, oh my God!
Yeah. Well, you never know. The universe is a crazy place.
Yeah, it is. So, and she was critical because without her support in the House, again, we would have had no chance. She was the critical player in the House.
Yep. Yep.
So, and what are we going to watch?
Very well respected in the House, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing. This was just a short interview we did with her on that last day. So, yeah, let's check that out.
Oh, I supported JRS 27 because I think it's the right thing to do. We really have to send a message to Congress that we have to get the money out of politics. It's become outrageous. I think $1 billion to elect a president. Who can aspire to being a citizen legislator? And that's what we have here in Vermont. And that's why I'm so proud that we're the first state to pass a resolution stating that we need to get the money out of our political system and move forward so that we can regain fair elections in this country. So it's been an exciting moment, and I'm so proud of Vermont and what we did. So,
thank you.
You're welcome.
So I don't know if there's good news or bad news for you. I think I might have to have you come back to California after each state. Because
okay.
I love seeing the founding fathers and mothers, right?
Yeah.
Like, I like to see that these, like, now what could be historic figures mm-hmm. after they've done the vote or in giving their speeches
yeah.
and seeing what motivated them, looking them, you know, in the eye in a sense and
yeah.
and seeing that story unfold in each state.
Yeah, I will. I'll come back. Promise. Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, they were, as you can see there, she got it, you know? She understood the importance of it.
Yeah.
And they do, you know? If they think that this is a real important issue, then they see pretty quickly that this is a very logical, you know, thing to do, is
right.
to start calling for this convention.
Before we wrap up, can you tell the last moments you told me on the phone? I don't know if it's too hokey, but it's true. So
yeah.
about the sun the grace and
So it's, as you said, the movie producers are never going to believe us.
Yeah.
But it just so happened that I went over a little bit early. I wasn't even planning to initially to the State House. Just in, I didn't want to miss anything last day. And we had already had the floor debate the night before, so we already, you know, we had a good feeling that we were going to win. The last vote, things can change. It is a real vote. But we had a pretty good feeling going into that day. And I show up at the State House, and obviously you're nervous because it is still politics and anything can happen.
Right.
And it was not official until they did that final vote, you know, on Friday morning. So, yeah, I go in there, and I'd never seen it before, but a choir comes in and starts singing Amazing Grace, you know, and that was like literally an hour before the vote, you know. So, and yeah, it was rainy in the morning and it started to get, you know, sunny, and but, you know, they're never going to believe us when we tell them that. But,
the
but
sun
it was. It was
shining
it really
through
was.
The clouds. It, there was no rainbow.
Yeah, I almost don't even want to say it because it's so ridiculous, you know. But it actually happened. It was an amazing, it was a cool moment, you know, and the legislators are all filing into the room, and it was certainly a scene out of a movie, if there is eventually going to be one.
Right, and they didn't, no choir had ever come in the other days that you
were there. Not that I had seen. I'm sure they do it.
Oh, of course, you know, they must do it from time to time.
I just hadn't seen
it. But it was random that it was that day. And Amazing Grace, you had sent me a paragraph. We don't have it here, but from Amazing Grace, that was like so appropriate.
Yeah,
like we.
It talks about losing your fear, basically, which is the floor debate the night before. Was plenty of it, you know, as we're seeing all over the country. That's part of it, you know, getting over this fear of a convention. And and I think the last line in that same paragraph was like the hour that I first believed.
It was
literally like an hour before. So
the hour we first believed, when the first state passed.
Yeah, that actually happened.
So, yeah, calling for the resolution, a resolution calling for the convention, and gives me hope now when I tell everybody I'll see you at the convention. It was the hour I first believed.
Yeah. And you can replace that scene in your head of me staying in the snow with that one, because I think it's a little more positive too.
They're both great. So, they're both great. And so the other fear, by the way, to overcome is fear of like, oh, how do I make that first call? Do I really have time? Can I really participate? Mm-hmm. Can, like, as if people have this thought in their head like, well, these guys must know what they're doing. I can assure you that Mike had no idea what he was doing when he started.
None. No.
And by the way, neither did I. It's not like I know how to do this. Yeah. I'm keeping it real. We spent a year, I don't want to say wasted, but spent a year
figuring it out,
and it was super frustrating, right? But now we know we've got a plan. The plan works. We just need your guys' help. So what do we need from folks?
We've been working it out for the last year or so. Yeah, we're always improving. You know, we're still learning stuff every day. Mm-hmm. You know, but yeah, when I started, I was nervous to call legislators. You know, I didn't know, who am I? You know, what do I know? Mm-hmm. And I found pretty quickly that this is a very easy issue to talk about with anybody. You know, especially politicians, because they all have an opinion on it. You know, even if they don't ultimately end up agreeing with us, they're still going to have an opinion on the issue of Citizens United, money in politics. And it's not going to be unpleasant. You know, they're not going to be, you know, a dick about it to you. They're going to tell you their opinion. It might not be your opinion, but you're still just having a conversation, you know. And that's what I realized really quickly, you know, after making just a couple phone calls. So now it's, second nature. You just call them up and you say, hey, you know, I live in your district or I live in your state. And, you know, do you have a couple minutes to talk to me about corruption in Congress, you know, and money in politics? And I volunteer with a group that has a really strong plan to actually do something about it, you know, and they'll listen to you, you know, they really will, and especially if you live in their district.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a good analogy or not, but when I remember when I first thought about hitting on girls, I was so nervous, like, my God, what are they going to say? Yep. And then
I think it is actually probably a good analogy.
Right. By the end of my career of hitting on girls, I was like, oh, come on, who cares? I've done this a million times. Yeah. Like, hey, how you doing? Okay, all right, what's up?
That's exactly where we want all of our volunteers to be, right in that exact same spot. You know, and just do it. If you haven't done it yet, just pick up the phone, you know, give them a call, say you live in the state or the district and you care about this issue. And you might have to be persistent. You might have to call a couple times, but I guarantee you will get a meeting with them.
So, like, you might think, well, okay, yeah, but I talk for a living, right? And Mike's in a suit. So how many years you spent as a lobbyist?
Yeah, I'm actually somewhat uncomfortable wearing suits. I've only recently gotten used to it, you know, spending so much time in the State House. But nothing, zero political experience. And that's one of the first things that anybody, you know, usually tells me is that, God, I have no experience. I don't know what I'm doing. I just say, you know, just relax, just, you know, just learn, go through the training, learn the talking points. You will, you know, you'll figure this out really quickly, you know.
So let's keep it real. What was your job before this?
Phone company, actually.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, I was worked in a bucket truck splicing phone wires together.
Splicing phone wires.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So understand, we're not
Zero.
Trained lobbyists.
0%.
We're not like professionals in that sense, and we're super proud of that, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Right. These are all real Americans: teachers, guys splitting wires, musicians, lawyers, whatever. Mm-hmm. Every field you can imagine,
yep.
right? Veterans, mm-hmm. people who are disabled. All you need to do is pick up a phone, yep. right?
All the way up the spectrum to even, you know, big business owners, uh-huh. our volunteers. You know, it goes from, you know, everybody that, again, cares about this democracy wants to get involved and help, you know? So there's literally no boundaries there, you know?
All right, so wolf-pack.com, what do we need? We need volunteers.
Best way to do it is to go to the website and click on states in the upper right-hand corner.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the best place to do it because you get right into your state group. Join the Google group. That's where all the conversation happens. You know, everybody is sort of working together on their own teams in their own states, you know, and that's the way we have this whole thing set up. So the best thing that people can do really is go and volunteer that way. And just stay a part of the conversation. You know, again, we know that everybody's busy. We don't expect you to do more than you can do, you know, just make a lot of people making one or two calls a week really adds up. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, there's just story after story where a legislator ends up introducing our resolution after like two constituent calls, you know,
mm-hmm.
one or two. A lot of times it's only been one. So that's really the main thing. Go to the website, get into those groups, you know, volunteer, go see our training. You can actually RSVP on the website if you scroll down to the events calendar. You can do a training. And, you know, if you can't volunteer, then just be a member, you know, give the $10 a month because it has made all the difference, you know, from having no, you know, paid people in Wolfpack to having, you know, three now has made a huge, huge difference. You know, being able to spend all week on this is necessary, you know. 50 teams is, it's a lot of work, you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And the more financial power we have, the more resources we have, the quicker we can get this done and get back to our normal lives and have a real democracy again.
Okay,
you know?
So don't tell other people, but there's only three full-time workers.
Right.
And that what we have is, as one person said in Illinois, there was a Wolfpack person in the room, and she gets a call, and it's another Wolfpack volunteer calling her. She's chief of staff to one of the politicians there, and she hangs up, and she's like, man, you've got a mountain army, right?
Yeah.
Look at what we've done with three people. If we had more resources,
mm-hmm. Oh, forget it.
Okay,
yep. So
that's
important.
Why if you have no time at all, still at least give a little bit of money mm-hmm. so that it could help the people who then can make time to do this, and so that we can grow bigger and stronger with this. So $10 a month, great, right? If you can afford more, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got those levels, lieutenant, captain, colonel, et cetera. That would be phenomenal, man. Every piece of it helps.
And people have stepped up, you know? So again, thank you to everybody who has, because you've got a big universe out there, you know, and they have stepped up over the last year, and they continue to.
Yeah.
And hopefully this spurs, you know, Vermont is a victory, and victory does feel good, doesn't it?
Yeah. It feels good to take the power back.
So we just gotta use this momentum and get a few more states on the board, and go get this done.
And my guess is that with the states, we'll have the same thing that happens within a state, which is that the first person is critical, and then the second person makes it much easier. By the time you get that third critical legislator,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden somebody took their finger out of the dam and it bursts
and
it gets much easier. So I'm hoping it's the same way with the states.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first state, second, third, all of a sudden somewhere in the fifth or seventh state, mm-hmm. somebody's going to take their finger out of the dam and be like, oh no.
Yep. Again, because it's logical. It makes sense, you know?
Right.
So I do think there will become a moment like that. Yeah, and the first one is always the hardest because people are looking around like, well, who else is doing this, you know? Why do I have to be the first one, you know?
Uh-huh.
And now we have that, you know, we have that first state, and other states can look to Vermont and say, yeah, you know, I agree. This does make a lot of sense. So
let me leave you with this last thing, okay? So wolf-pack.com, do whatever you can, volunteer, remember. But what I always think about, and I've said this from day one, is sitting on my porch, right?
Yep.
And thinking about that we did it. We got our democracy back. And if you participate in that in any way, you get to sit on the porch too and be like, hey, you know what? Maybe my $10 made a difference, because it did. We can tell you that it did, right? It's not a joke. We've lived it, because we get to hire an extra guy and he winds up going to Vermont. He makes a huge difference, et cetera. If you made a phone call, that makes a difference, because you don't know which phone call is going to get through. Mm-hmm. Even if yours is not the one that gets through, that you're part of the pack that made the difference. Yeah. And you could always think like, I did that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, yeah, like how many chances in your lifetime are you going to have to be a part of something this big, you know? Like restoring democracy in this country, you know?
For the first time, let me go one step further, because I always think like, okay, you get the amendment, you sit on the porch and stuff, but think of the laws you're gonna pass once you get representative democracy back, right? And the first time you see one of those laws and you're like, oh, that seemed like that was impossible before. Right. And look at how easy it was once they represent us.
Yep.
And the difference that makes in people's lives, and once you see that difference, you're going to be like, oh, my God, I made that difference.
Absolutely.
God, yeah, that's going to feel awesome.
As Professor Lessig likes to say, you know, money in politics is not the most important issue, but it's the first issue, right? Yeah. You have to fix that, and then we can fix all the other really important issues in this country. Who, by the way, Professor Lessig was a hero in Vermont as well. We had video footage. I just couldn't upload it in time, but he really... he made a big difference up there. You know, he actually drove up 3 hours from Cambridge and testified, made a, you know, an excellent testimony. Mm-hmm. On the House side, he actually called in for the Senate side too. So he actually testified at both hearings and really made a difference, because, you know, someone just being that well respected, they really listen to him, you know, and he lays out the case extremely well too. So
Harvard Law School professor Larry Lessig, who's the godfather of this movement, and every time he does something critical like that, I always feel great about my decision to write his name in for president during the Democratic primaries in 2012.
Yep.
I might have been his only vote, but it was a worthy vote.
You might get a few the next time around.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. You get it started. So many people made a difference. Ben Cohen wrote letters to all the state senators.
Ben's been great. He's actually been a volunteer. He went through the training and everything.
Isn't that an amazing guy who started Ben and Jerry's?
Yep.
It's just a volunteer.
He is just a volunteer.
That's awesome. Yep. That's America. Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Yep. I'm pumped up. All right. Mike Minetta, thank you, man. Thank you for joining us.
Man.